I want us to turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Ezekiel, an Old Testament book. Ezekiel, and the chapter is a chapter number 37. 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. We want you to follow the reading of God's precious word with us. In this chapter, we read a few verses of this passage of God's word. We'll commence reading there at the verse number 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when he beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. When ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. We end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing. Let's keep our Bibles open and just bow our heads for a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word today. We thank thee that thy word is truth. Thy word is forever settled in heaven. We thank thee that though heaven and earth may pass away, that thy word shall never pass away. We thank thee, our God, that thou failest not. And Lord, we confess our sins and we confess our failures and our faults, but we thank thee that there's no fault or failure in Christ. We thank thee we can say he's the altogether lovely one. And O God, we thank thee unto them that believe he is precious. Bless us now as we open thy word and meditate upon it. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
There's no one can deny that we're living in very uncertain times. And as people look around them and look across this world, I must confess, many even of God's people are fearful. People don't understand what is really happening and what is going to happen next in the world in which we live. And yet when we come to God's word, thank God we find here in the word of God that down the centuries, God's people have had to face situations just like we are confronted today. Now I want us to concentrate not upon the materialistic or the constitutional side of life, but on the spiritual realities, because this is most important. Spiritual realities, I believe, is facing our nation, facing London, facing our country, and even facing the world. Now, in the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, we find there's a very solemn picture here. It's a picture of desolation, and it's a picture of death. And let me say that as I look across our nation, I see much of that today. There is a spiritual deadness. There is a spiritual death that has crept and taken hold of our people. And even many of God's people that once were on fire for God, they seem to have lost the zeal and the fire for the things of God. And you know, they're just content just to live life, just going through. In many ways, sometimes formalities of religion, but they've lost the power. But I want us to notice just the setting here of this 37th chapter. Now, in 606 BC, the Babylonians began the first of several deportations to Babylon. That's of the Jews. And in that first deportation was Daniel and his three friends. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, Daniel was a lad, let me tell you, some people think that whenever you read about the book of Daniel, they think about, here's a man who was fully grown. Let me tell you, Daniel, when he was taken away, he was 15 years of age. He was taken into bondage about 15, 16 years of age. His three friends were with him. And yet we find in the book of Daniel, here was a young man, and in the first chapter it said, Daniel purposed in his heart that we'd not defile himself. He was a young man that had a godly upbringing. We were not told who his parents are or where, but that didn't matter. They called him Daniel, which means God is my judge. In other words, he had godly parents. And I believe, my friend, that that will be the success of our nation whenever our families, our parents, our homes turn back to God. But sad to say, it's not a reality today, because as far as many people are concerned, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And as far as they're concerned, they say in their heart, there is no God. And so they live that way. They are the God of their own lives. They are the master of their... That's, of course, what sin is. That's me. I, on the throne of my life. Nobody tells me what to do because I'm in control. My friend, you might think that, but you're wrong. The Bible says, in him, that's in God, we live and move and have our being. And if you think you can live without God, let God put his hand upon you, take away your breath, see how far you get. Because you know you'll not get anywhere. Without God, you can do nothing. And so we find here's a young man was taken away there in that first deportation of the Jewish lads. And then in 597 BC, the second group was taken. And in that grouping was another young man. He's called Ezekiel. And this young man and his wife were taken there into bondage and into captivity. And here we find a book written, one by Daniel, one by Ezekiel. Now, 5 years later, after his captivity, he was called of God to become a prophet. And God used him mightily for the glory and the honor of God's gracious name. Even though Ezekiel was in distant Babylon, thank God he knew what it was to walk with God. And sometimes we say, well, listen, I couldn't live for God in London. I couldn't live for God in maybe my workplace. No, my friend, listen, wherever God puts you, you can, in the power of the Holy Ghost, you can live for God there. And if you're God's child, God gives you the power. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And so often people make excuses. Well, I couldn't really be an out-and-out Christian and take a stand for God in my workplace. They'd laugh at me, or I would be sneered at. Let me tell you, they laughed at Daniel too. They laughed at Ezekiel too. But praise God, they live for God. And there's no excuse why you and I can't live for God wherever God has placed us. Now, through Jeremiah, the Jews were told that they were in Babylon for 70 years and they were to settle there for 70 years. And even though false prophets came along and said, no, God's going to destroy Babylon and you're going to be liberated. And they said, peace, peace. When there was no peace, they were false prophets. God's servant Jeremiah said, no, you're in the land for 70 years. And that's exactly how long they were there. Because God had purposed and God had planned. And it was Ezekiel. Ezekiel spoke to those in captivity. And he told them, listen, God is not going to destroy Babylon, but God is going to destroy Jerusalem. And you're here. And whilst Jeremiah, he ministered to the people that were in Jerusalem and told them what God was going to do there, the people didn't want to hear it. Just like today, people don't want to hear what God has got to say. The Bible says the truth shall make you free. But people don't want the truth. They want to hear things that they want to hear. And as far as what God has got to say, don't tell me what God has got to say. Well, Jeremiah, he spoke the word of God in Jerusalem and said, God is going to destroy Jerusalem and you're going to be taken into bondage. And then God used Ezekiel in Babylon. And God says, God's not going to destroy Babylon. God's going to destroy Jerusalem. But, that's not the end of the story. Because at the end of those 70 years, there's going to come a glorious restoration. And there will be the rebuilding of the temple again. And God gave a revelation to Ezekiel. And now we come to chapter 37. Because in chapter 37, we have from chapter 37, the closing portion of Ezekiel's prophecy. And it looked to the future. And you know, whenever we think of some of the things that's happening today, we can lose heart and we can be discouraged. But friend, I want to tell you, God's still on the throne. No matter what's happening in this whole world, let me tell you, it's not happening and God not knowing what's happening or that somehow God has lost control of what's happening. No. God has already told us the end of the story. It's in the book. It's in this book, friend. And I have great news for the people of God. We win. We win. Now, we may have to face many a valley. We might have to face many tribulations and trials along the way. But praise God, he'll bring his people through to victory. And the child of God is on the victory side. My, it seems, if you look around you, it seems as if the devil's crowd's winning. It seems that they're having a heyday. Let me tell you, God will let them go as far as he will let them go. And God will say, so far, no further. Because God's word will be performed. What God has said, friend, let me tell you, no matter what man tries to do, he'll never overthrow the purpose and sovereign plan of God. We sing the wee chorus, God is still on the throne and he will remember his own. His promise is true. Listen to this. He will not forget you. For God is still on the throne. And so God says, listen, I'm going to. He asked his servant, before we come to chapter 37, look at chapter 36. Also thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel. I want you to tell the mountains of Israel something's going to happen. And God is going to deliver his people. And you know why God's going to do it, friend? God makes it absolutely clear that God is going to move. Look at verse 22 of chapter 36. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do this not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's, my holy name's sake. I'm doing it to the glory of my name. For God doesn't give his glory to anybody else. And God says, listen, I'm doing it in mercy. You don't deserve it, but I'm doing it in mercy. And God says, I'm going to bring you back to your land again. And thank God there's mercy with the Lord today. Maybe you're here and you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if God gives you your deserts, friend, you'll be in hell. You'll go to a Christless eternity. But thank God, God, in his love, in his grace, and his mercy, God provided in his Son the remedy for sin. And God provided the only Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And thank God there's a Savior today from sin's power, from sin's penalty, from sin's pollution, and one day from sin's presence. And that one, that Savior, his name is Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky. Angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. And then we find, as we come to chapter 37, let's look quickly. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. Here's a stirring revelation. Notice, this wasn't some work up of the flesh. He said, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Friend, that's what we need today. We need God's hand upon the preacher in the pulpit. We need the hand of God upon the Sunday school teachers. We need the hand of God on the children's workers and the people who are out doing the work of God. We need the power and the hand of God. And the hand of God was upon me. Oh, that you ought to pray every time your preacher steps into this pulpit. You pray that God will fill his servant with the power of the Holy Ghost, that he'd preach not in the efforts of the flesh, but in the anointing and by the power of the Spirit of God. Now, Ezekiel did nothing here of himself. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. He was transported by the Spirit of the Lord. And I said, this is not emotionalism. This isn't some charismatic touch. This is being carried by the Spirit into this valley. And notice what it says. He set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of dry bones. He brought him and set him down in a valley of dry bones. It wasn't a pretty picture. It was a picture of desolation. And the Bible says that not only was it a valley of dry bones, it was very many dry bones. It was full of dry bones there in this open valley. See, why did the Spirit of God do this? Because, your friend, listen, before God was going to tell Ezekiel what to do next, he wanted him to catch the vision. He wanted him to catch the need of the hour. And he sat him down in a valley to teach him. I knew that's something we need to need. We need to sense the need of the hour. I wonder if you look around London, are you gripped by the sin? Is your heart stirred? As you see men and women walk the streets of London, let me tell you, what do you see? You see just men, or do you see precious souls? Do you see precious souls that are headed to God's eternity, friend? And every step they take, it's taking them closer and closer and closer to that meeting with God, to that great eternity. And the Bible tells me there's one or two places there. And one's called heaven for the saved in Christ Jesus. And the other's called hell And they're both real. And every precious soul that you watch, every one of your loved ones that you look upon, remember this, they're traveling to one of two places. Not to both places, to one of those places. And if their heart's right with God, they'll be in heaven. And if they die in sin, they'll be lost in hell. And God wanted Ezekiel to catch the vision. The vision of desolation. The vision of destitution. The vision of decay. The vision of destruction. The vision of devastation. Know what the Bible says? Without a vision, the people perish. And I say this honestly, I fear that many of God's people have lost the vision. They've lost the vision. And God says, without that vision, the people perish. And many today, they're now apathetic in the work of God. They're indifferent. And to be honest, there are many of God's people are just happy enough going through the motions of church. They're playing church. But their heart's not in it. And they're fast asleep. And the world's going to hell. And many of God's people don't want to be wakened. Don't waken me up. I'm happy to sleep. I'm happy to just go on the way I'm going. And God took, and by his Spirit, he took Ezekiel and he planted him down there to catch the vision. And the Bible says, verse 2, and caused me to pass by them round about. This wasn't just a little look. No, no. Gill, the commentator, said, made Ezekiel to go round several times to really take it in. And what was it? A valley of dry bones. What would that speak about? That reminds them there was a battle here. There was a battle here. There's a battle fought here. Once there was an army there. Once there were men that were standing up there, but something happened. There was a great slaughter there. You notice, didn't say that was a valley of skeletons. Didn't say that. Didn't say that it was a valley full of graves. No, it was not even of corpses, but of bones. Bones scattered everywhere. That meant there'd been a slaughter. An awful slaughter. Bone had been taken from bone. And they were very dry. In other words, they'd been lying there under the sun. And the marrow had gone out of them. And they were turning to dust. And the vultures had come. And Maya had taken the skin from off them. And those bones were bleached under the sun. It was a tragic scene that God gave his servant that day. The army had gone into battle, but the army had been defeated and were scattered. Bones scattered, not joined together, just bone torn from bone all over the valley. Once there had been life there, but no more. And friend, the sad reality is this. In London, in this United Kingdom, once the preaching of the gospel was everywhere. Once there was spiritual life, and God's people were on fire, living for God. They wanted to do something for God. And the gospel was spread across. In actual fact, we sent missionaries across the world. What's happening now? From across the world, missionaries are coming to London. What's happened? What's happened? Many have lost the fight and they're down in the battle. Many have lost their first love. and their hearts are cold. You know what happened? Worldliness. Friend, let me tell you this. The world's not getting more churchy. The church is getting more worldly. That's what's happened. And we allowed the world to come into the church. You know what happened? Push the gospel out. And places that once in London used to vibrate with the preaching of the gospel, sad to say, they're closed. Their doors are closed. The bars are upon the doors. Many are taken over by false religion that once preached the word. And what a desolation. What a devastation. Now, whenever the prophet saw that, it wasn't a comfortable scene, friend. But I asked you a question. Those who know and love the Lord Jesus, what you see in London today, are you comfortable with? Are you just happy enough to let it go on? Or in your heart, do you want to see God move again? You want to see God to stir again in this great capital city? That God will do something mighty and something wonderful. Now listen, whenever God showed him the vision, verse 3, and he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Now notice what God didn't say to him. He did not say, Ezekiel, can you make these bones live? He didn't say that. He says, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And as you look around the deadness in London, ask your question. Friend, do you believe that the dead bones can live? That God can do a work again? Or do you think that God's finished? That God has given up? And God has walked away? That there's no hope of revival. There's no hope of God stirring his people again. And he asked him, and what did Ezekiel say? Look at the answer. I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And friend, that was the only answer that he could give. Faith could give, Lord, thou knowest. And what Ezekiel was saying is, God, only thou can change all this. And I say this, my friend, in London, only God can change this. Gimmicks will not do it. Imitations will not do it. Trying to stir up something will not do it. It has to be the work of God. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Can these bones live? The situation appeared hopeless. Nothing but death. But thank God there's nothing impossible with God. Jeremiah asked the question, in actual fact, if you read it in the scriptures, he actually answered the question before he asked it. Because here's the question he asked. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? There's the question. But before he asked it, he said this. Ah, Lord God, there is nothing too hard for thee. Ah, yes, it's too hard for me. But God, there's nothing too hard for thee. That's what faith says. And child of God, I'm saying to you today, put your faith in God. Trust him. I believe that God is able to make those dead bones live. Now, having said that, look very quickly. God said something very strange. Verse number 4. Again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones. And say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Preach unto those dry bones. Preach unto those dry bones. Now, when you read the book of Ezekiel, friend, God asked Ezekiel on a number of occasions to do very strange things. This was one of them. He asked him to eat the roll, or the scroll, the word. He told him to shut himself up in a house. He told him to lie on his left side for 390 days. He told him to lie on his right side for 40 days. He told him to take a sharp knife and cut the hair of his head and his beard. Those were strange things. And now he says to him, Ezekiel, preach. Preach unto these bones. Preach those dry bones scattered everywhere. You say, well, this is foolish. What would a man preach unto dry bones for? I'll tell you what he would do. Because God told him to do it. And when God tells you to do something, my friend, it might look foolish in the eyes of man, but when God tells you to do it, you've got to do it. Leave the result with God. What happens then is what God's doing. And God says to him, you preach unto those dry bones. Tell me, what did he do? Verse 5. Thus saith the Lord unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Did Ezekiel understand what God had told him to do? No, he didn't. But he knew he had one responsibility before God. That was to do. Do you remember what Mary told to the servants at the Cana of Galilee? What did she say to them? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. And friend, that's the problem with God's way. Sometimes we have to know all the answers before we're willing to do anything. Oh Lord, you've got to show me. Well, if I do this, am I wasting my time? No friend, you're never wasting your time when you do something God tells you to do. And God never tells you to do something without having a purpose. And God has a plan. And the wonderful thing is this. You can be a part of that plan. You, as his child, a part of God's sovereign plan. I think that's amazing that God would ever take the likes of me. When I went into the ministry, friend, I was 19 years of age. I held my first gospel mission in Macrofelt, in an old army reject tent. Whenever it was raining so heavy, in actual fact, there were nights we had to put up the umbrellas inside the tent because the rain was coming through the holes. It was an army reject tent, so you know it wasn't a perfect one. We started our mission there. I was 19 years of age, and God told me to do it. I left the civil service. That was my employment. And God called me into the ministry. Did I know what that would mean for the future? No, I didn't. But one thing I did know, God called me. And I tell you, that's what kept me. Our brother did mention, yes, I did know what it was to serve a period of time in prison for my stand in the gospel scene. But I don't regret it. Because God used me there. And I saw the person who was with me in the cell. I saw him gloriously saved by the grace of God. And then God called me back to that place when I was 20, Macrofelt. And for 50 years, I labored in that place. Do you know what kept me? Days of testing, days of trial. One thing. God's call. God called me. And when I knew I was called of God, friend, saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood of Christ, and called by God to serve him, thank God that's when you stick at it. You're not one when problems come. You're not take off and turn away. No. You'll take a stand for God. And God says, you preach. Preach what? He said, preach unto them the word. Hear, verse 4, hear the word of the Lord. And that's what God called me to do as a young lad of 19. Preach the word. And I say to you, Brother Knowles, stick to the book. Stick to the book. There's nothing like it. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word, hallelujah, will never pass away. God's word remains faithful. It doesn't change. We're not needing modern translations, friend. Let me tell you this. My father had no education, but he loved this old book. And he could read it. And the Spirit of God helped him to understand it. And here we have today the word of the Lord. Isn't that what Paul said to Timothy before he died? As a martyr? What did he say to young Timothy? He says, Timothy, preach the word. The word. Stick to the word. And preach, thus hear the word of the Lord. That's what London needs. A man that can stand on the pulpit and can say, I have a word from the Lord. This is what God's word says. The world may sneer at you and laugh at you and mock you and jeer you. What about it, friend? Somebody said, you're a fool. You're a fool. And I says, I'm a fool for Christ. Tell me, whose fool are you? I'd rather be a fool for the Lord any day than a fool for the devil. Be on the Lord's side. Who is on the Lord's side? And so he said, hear the word of the Lord. And he preached the word of the Lord. And what was God's word? I've got to get through this quickly. Listen. Notice what God's word said. Look at verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will. I will, says God, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, because I will, ye shall. Not the other way about. I will, ye shall. Look at verse 6. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring upon flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Once again, I will, ye shall. Thank God, brother, let me tell you, you'll be able to do a work here because God has willed that you preach this word. And as you're faithful in the preaching of God's word, God will build his church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We're on the victory side. Do you believe that? You really believe that, friend? I can tell you. You wouldn't be discouraged even when you look around. So I prophesied. And as he prophesied, look at verse 7. As I prophesied, as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Now mark that. Bone. Listen, this is not corpses. These are not bodies. These are not skeletons. There's nothing else. Bones. Bones are scattered here. There's skulls here. And there's arms there. And there's legs there. And all scattered apart all over the place. Because of this great slaughter. But something happened. As he fulfilled what God commanded him to do. The Bible says this. There was a noise. There was a shaking. Ah, that's what we need today. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ, God needs to shake us. Wake up. Child of God, get awake. See the need of the hour. Get a catch of the vision of the hour. And there was a shaking. And then it says this, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. It wasn't that bones from different bodies all joined together into the one. No. wherever the bones were of that one body, matter where they were scattered, they whizzed past each other and came bone to his bone. See, how did that happen? I'll tell you why. Who put the body together in the first place? It was God. God knew exactly every part of that body. He knows every part of my body. And so bone came to his bone. Do you know why? Because when God does a work, friend, God doesn't do it with confusion. Everything was done decently and in order. I'll show you that just in a wee second. Not only did this, all those bones come together, but then something happened. It says, verse 8, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. What was that? It didn't say, listen, here, come on, flesh. You get on flesh on, and then shove the bones into the flesh. No, no, friend. Everything was done properly. The bones came together, the sinews, the muscles, and the skin above. Done. Why? Because God does all things well. But there's one problem. No breath. No breath. So what have you now? You have corpses. That's all you have now. Once there were an army, but corpses can't fight a battle. What did God say? Verse 9. Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man. Say to the wind, thus saith the Lord. Here's a command from God. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. God's the giver of life. Thank God Jesus said, I am come that ye might have life. People say, if I came to Jesus, it would only destroy my life. Let me tell you, friend, Jesus didn't come to destroy life. The thief cometh not for to kill, but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Jesus says, I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundant. Hallelujah, abundance of life. We chorus said, if you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. And so the bones, thank God there's now life. We're nearly through. And says, verse 10, I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived. That's not it over. Look, they lived, and they stood up upon their feet. Once they took a stand, but now they've been scattered in the slaughter. But now they're standing on their feet. And then it says this, an exceeding great army. Ready for battle. Ready for battle again. It's no secret, friend, what God can do. The week hymn writer was written, Stuart Hamlin wrote the words, it is no secret what God can do. What he has done for others, he can do for you. Stuart Hamlin was an actor. And then the Lord saved him. And then he knew that was not for him. He started to write hymns and take a stand and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus. One day he was talking to John Wayne. And he was telling John about what the Lord had done for him. And John Wayne turned to him and he said, Stuart, I'm very happy for you. But you know, that's you. It couldn't happen to me. Stuart Hamlin turned to him and he said, John, that's not true. It's no secret what God can do for what he's done for others. he can do for you. And Wayne says to him, he says, Stuart, I think there's a hymn in there. There's a song in there. And Stuart Hamlin wrote the words of that hymn. And friend, just a few weeks ago, I was reading the story of John Wayne. And through a little girl who was very ill, John Wayne, before he died, came to Christ and got gloriously saved. He said, it couldn't happen to me. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you're saying, you know, William, it couldn't happen to me. I tell you, God's the God of miracle. He can lift you. I was sinking deep in sin. That's what you were singing a few moments ago. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more. But then love lifted me. Oh, thank God. He can save you too. I pray you'll come to him. And child of God, pray today. Oh God, as I walk the streets of London, give me a fresh vision. Let me not see men as simply old trees walking. But let me see them as souls. Precious souls. Lost souls. That need Jesus. God give you the vision. And then go in the Saviour's name. Bring them in. From the fields of sin. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. We pray that you'll bless it to our hearts. Thank you for the attention of the people listening. But, oh God, we pray if there's one that know not Jesus as Savior, don't let them go home that way. Oh, Spirit of God, call them, draw them to Jesus Christ. And bless your children. Oh, set your people on fire for God. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.